Lake Effect continues on WUWM. I'm Mitch Tine.
And I'm Bonnie North. As temperatures yesterday hovered in the low 60s downtown, that hurt. There were some people who theorized that maybe we skipped summer altogether and jumped straight from spring into fall.
That might be cause for concern. If you have a garden growing, we'd hate to have a killing frost in August. Fortunately, that probably won't happen, but the temperature swings are on the mind of our gardening contributor, Melinda Myers, who is with us in the studio. Nice to see you.
Always great to be here and talk gardening.
So as we're having this conversation, it's about 70 degrees out. If we were having this conversation yesterday, it was like 85 degrees out. Who knows what it's going to be by the time this interview airs. But let me ask you, give me a review of what kind of summer this has been for growing.
Well, you know, spring was cool and wet. So unless you had the right day off of work and the time to garden, your garden may have gotten in a little later. Or if you were lucky enough, you timed it right and you got some of your earlier crops in on time. And then we would hit a cool spell. And so things like tomatoes and peppers and eggplants and melons and squash like it nice and warm. So they've benefited from the warm weather, where lettuce and greens really like it cool. So we've had kind of that crazy weather that, depending on when you got your plants in, you know, the microclimates in your yard, it's going to be another interesting year in terms of tomatoes and peppers and, you know, how we're going to, what the harvest is going to be like. And I think that's always the exciting and challenging part of gardening, is we're trying to guess what nature's going to throw our way and how those plants are going to deal with it.
Well, and so for something like tomatoes or peppers, say, that like the temperature to be really warm or even hot, in the case of a cool spell, do they just slow down or can it sidetrack them entirely? Do you run the risk of losing the crop for the summer?
Well, what happens is it definitely slows things down. So when they say, you know, your tomatoes will be ready in 80 days, well, that's based on average temperature. So if it's a cooler year, it might be 90 or it might be 100. The same with watermelons. When we have a warm summer, we're so used to waiting and waiting for watermelon. I know in the hot summers, people have waited too long because they're used to them taking longer. So the temperature really influences maturity, but then diseases enter into it. So if we have a lot of moisture in certain temperatures, we'll be more likely to have certain diseases. If you think back last year, we had a lot of rain. We had a lot of leaf spot on tomatoes. And for many people, it wasn't a very good tomato year. Things weren't ripening as early because of the cooler temperatures. And then it was wet. And so we had a lot of leaf blight. We had septorial leaf spot. So we had a wet spring. It's been a little dry lately. So mulching to help conserve moisture and keep that temperature even is a good idea. And it also traps some of the soil-borne fungi so it doesn't splash up onto the plants. So mulching will help in a lot of ways and help keep those weeds down too. So that's a good thing. Things that like it warm, a lot of people who grow melons and squash will often use black plastic. I'm not a huge fan because the moisture and air doesn't get down to the roots and it doesn't improve the soil, but it does warm things up. So a lot of times you'll see people using weed berry or something like that as a seasonal mulch just to warm the soil up. But I'm a big fan of shredded leaves, evergreen needles. One, they're free. We're recycling them. And two, as they break down, they improve the soil. So next year's garden will be even better.
It's funny you should mention watermelons. Just before we sat down here and I was at home, I was looking at our watermelon plants out there and reading the little sign that I made sure I put in the ground next to them. And it said, you know, these are going to produce 25-pound fruit. And I'm looking and I see 0 pounds of fruit out there so far.
Right. It's still a little early. So, you know, the fact that they're flowering, they'll start forming fruit probably end of July, early August. But you've got until, I remember last year I was trying to give my plants as much time as possible to produce and still had a pretty decent watermelon crop despite planting later than I probably should have. So we're going to see some of that. And the good news is there's lots of fabrics, floating row covers we can throw over our plants in the fall in case, you know, things don't mature quite as quickly or that first fall frost is going to hit earlier than we expect.
The cucumbers seem to be doing really well this year, though.
You know, and I want to mention, because there might be some people going, well, yours might be doing well, Mitch, but mine aren't. One thing that happens with squash and cucumbers is the first flush of flower are all male flowers. So you get these flowers with a straight stem. The second flush are male and female. So if you look at the flower, there's a little immature cucumber underneath, or a squash, or a melon, whatever you're growing. Then you get pollination and fertilization. So every year I get lots of gardeners going, I have all these flowers and I have no fruit. Well, check and see if it's an all-male set of flowers. That's fine. Just be patient. The females will come along. You'll get pollination and fertilization. And harvesting is important to keep them producing as well.
Okay, well, let me ask you a dumb question then. I actually have two varieties of cucumbers growing side by side. Am I creating hybrids?
You know, you are, but it won't affect what you eat. So what happens is we only worry if you were going to save the seeds from the cucumbers and plant them next year, you might have a surprise. Now, with corn, that's an issue because we're actually eating the seed. But with squash and cucumbers, you're going to eat the fruit, but the seeds, if you plant them, that's where the hybrid comes in. And a lot of times what happens, too, is you miss a cucumber, you miss a squash, and you, or maybe you throw it in the compost pile, and then you get this squash plant growing next year, cucumber with a bizarre-looking fruit, and that's because it came from the seeds that made cross-pollinated with something else. Say to eat, it just may not taste the same and definitely not look the same.
Okay, well, this all brings up a really important point here, and that is knowing when your crops are ripe and when you should pick them. Because, you know, we are also growing peppers at the Tyke household, and there's been this green pepper that's supposed to be an orange pepper, and it's been sitting on the plant for now week and a half, 2 weeks, and not really getting much bigger at this point, but not really getting much more orange either.
You bet. And that's one of the things of the orange and red peppers really stay on the plant longer. So you could eat it now, but if you wait till it turns orange and then red, it'll be much sweeter. Now, the problem is the ground squirrels or the, you know, anybody else trying to harvest that's not in the family might decide to pick it and eat it before you do. Basically, for peppers, you know, the lavender, the yellow, we're picking them immature. So if you leave them on, they usually turn a little green to brown, and they're still edible. But you're picking them when they're fully colored, the color they're supposed to be, in the right size. Now, eggplant's one of those mystery ones because eggplant, if you like it, you enjoy it. But a lot of people hate it because they've had it when it was over mature and it's kind of mealy. So with that one, when it's full size, take your thumb, gently press. If it leaves just a slight indentation, it's ready to pick. A big indentation, you waited too long. And if it bounces back, give it a day or two, and then you'll get the better flavor. And then I mentioned with cucumbers, it's important to keep picking. You know, zucchini, you really want them when they're 6 to 8 inches long. And if you keep picking them, you'll keep getting more. The same with your cucumbers. If you let them get to be baseball bat size, not as tasty. You can make a lot of zucchini bread and you'll need a lot of sugar for that. And so that's why we don't want to let them get big because the plant will kind of shut down. So picking regularly keeps the plant producing more.
And I would imagine this speaks to the need to look at the little sign that came with it to see how long the cukes or the zucchini is supposed to get.
You bet. That's exactly right. It'll give you some days guidance. So you kind of keep an eye on it, the plants at that point. On Melinda's Garden Moments on my website, we've done a few things on harvesting to help you along the way. So if you get stuck, like, when do I pick that? Help you with that as well. So yes, definitely the tags are very useful so that you know the variety you grew, when to pick it, when to expect some good results.
The hard part about all this is you spend so much time trying to make sure these plants are doing well, and then the vegetables are sitting there, and it's easy to lose patience because you think, look, they're done.
Exactly. And that's why I like to do like radishes or leaf lettuce that are quick and easy. And I often put my tomatoes, plant radishes in between, or leaf lettuce. So they're ready to pick. So it keeps me busy and occupied, keeps me going to the garden, checking my plants, making sure I have plenty. I double my planting space by having short season plants between long season. By the time the tomatoes take over, the lettuce is pretty well picked over. And it's a great way to keep things going. And you're right. They don't always ripen when we're ready to deal with them either. So you may want to have a plan for either sharing or get the canning equipment or freezing equipment ready in case you do have that big harvest all at once. I planted a lot of tomatoes. I'm planning a canning party. So I've got people lined up. You want some harvest, you got to help me deal with it.
All right, Melinda, thanks.
Thank you, Mitch.
Melinda Myers is the author of numerous books on gardening, host of Melinda's Garden Moments on television, and she's our regular gardening contributor. You can find links to more about her work, including information about her appearance this weekend at the Secret Gardens of Wauwatosa Tour. It's at WUWM.com.